Truth.
Like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten and children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow. The white Christmas, with every Christmas card I write, may your days be merry and bright, and may all your Christmases be white.
I'm dreaming of a white.
Oh, goodness sakes. So what can we do? Tomorrow's Thanksgiving. A lot of folks are undoubtedly going to get together with family, you know, loved ones, family, friends, etc. What can we do? The informed among us, what can we do? If you look around, I don't think it's a coincidence. You know, YouTube, CNN channel, hear Rittenhouse's message to Biden. Where's that other one? Fox News, what Biden did to Rittenhouse was wrong. Jonathan Turley commenting there. CNN, moment shows parade killing suspect arrested. Well, that's great. I mean, look at the guy. He looks like a Manchurian candidate par excellence, unfortunately for him. I mean, who knows? Like I said, maybe this year's word of the year from January 6th to November 21st should be handler. CNN, 20% of the world's largest trees were killed in 2 years. That's depressing. You know, and all of the other fears grow that Russia could invade its neighbor, blah, blah, blah. Instagram is not reality. Well, that's, you know, CNN host proves point with selfie. Hats off to CNN for that. But, you know, how about this one? Alex Jones, Roger Stone signaled defiance with January 6th probe. Maybe they can get together with Tucker Carlson and figure stuff out. I doubt it. Jury begins deliberating in trial of Arbery's killing. That was yesterday. There's lots of that stuff. Fox News, same thing. Thomas Jefferson's statue removed from New York City Hall. Of course, Dan Crenshaw. This is not how our justice system is supposed to work. Green Veterans honors veterans healthcare workers with Thanksgiving dinner. Joe Concha, left-wing media, continuing to ignore facts, of course, keeping people frothy. New York City considering granting voting rights to non-citizens. You know, these are all, and then, I mean, you can even go to the White House, obviously, and I just think it's hilarious that every video now, I mean, I talked, I think the post I titled, Do You See What I See? And I think that was, what was it, back in January or February, it was early on in the Biden administration. I said, isn't it interesting? You know, you have like overwhelming, it was at least 10 to 1 at the time. See, I can't find that real quick, actually. Do You See What I See? Yeah. It was January 23rd. Thought so. So, the view count, you know, on this January 20 press briefing by Press Secretary Jen Psaki. 429,000 views, which has been reset time and time and time again. And 7,100 thumbs up, 34,000 thumbs down. And I took little clips I included in the post, clips of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of their most recent at the time videos on YouTube for the White House. Few thumbs up, overwhelming thumbs down. And I think it's humorous that now, you know, we're being gaslighted. So comments are turned off, of course, on every White House video. And I wonder, does YouTube just have, in the changes that they've made, have they just turned off dislikes on videos like this, gaslighting folks? And, you know, it's thumbs up now. I thought about trying to click thumbs down and then refreshing to see if it would stick. I doubt it will. But I just think that's humorous, you know. In you know, and this gets back to Hayek's point about totalitarian propaganda. So you can look everywhere you look. There's this kind of stuff that's going to keep us frothy. And again, watch if you're not familiar with mass formation and mass psychosis, and you know, people say the virus is real. I would say, I wonder how much of it is mass psychogenic illness, truly, and I don't mean that in a crass way. If you're not familiar with all of this, go to therwr.com, click on that article that's at the top right now, COVID-19 Full Circle. I included in that post a playlist, YouTube playlist, titled Mass Psychosis. You can obviously share that if you want, or I mean, if you click on share there on the embedded playlist, it shares the whole playlist. But, you know, you click on the little deal there, and there are 11 videos in that right now, including, I think, 3 interviews with Matthias de Smet. There was the Aubrey Marcus interview. There was the Dan Ashton Gregory interview. And then Reimer Fulmich and the folks over in Germany spoke with Matthias de Smet, who is kind of an authority on the Gustav Le Bonian herd think, you know, manipulation, mass formation in particular, the ingredients it takes to make that happen, and then what happens as a result. Does it seem like, I mean, does any of this ring a bell? We actually played the clip, I think, you know. So leaders who understand, you know, Gustav Le Bon described how mass formation works. If the leaders of masses understand this, they understand that they can be as absurd as they want, they can be as harsh as they want, that they can impose the most absurd limitations to individuals' lives. It will only make the mass formation stronger. Actually, maybe we'll just play that. Maybe we'll do that. Because him saying it, I think, has more credibility. And that gets to my point also about what can we do. We could inform our fellow men and women, our fellow Americans, when we get together on Thanksgiving. I'll let the cat out of the bag a little bit. We could do that. We could try to do that. Or, again, you know, I mentioned in the first hour, Oswald Chambers, My Utmost First Highest, the November 22nd, entry, shallow and profound. Beware of allowing yourself to think that shallow concerns of life, the shallow concerns of life, are not ordained of God. They are as much of God as the profound. It is not your devotion to God that makes you refuse to be shallow, but your wish to impress other people with the fact that you are a spiritual prig. Be careful of the production of contempt in yourself. It always comes along this line. Causes you to go about as walking rebuke to other people because they are more shallow than you are. Beware of posing as a profound person. God became a baby. So we can love one another. How does that work? And, you know, it's frustrating to see that we're being manipulated, and that there's all of this evil that is going on around us, and people are oblivious to it, which speaks to what Chris was saying, you know, the frustration. And do you guys not understand that people are being injured, permanently injured and killed by what's going on? But here's the thing. If we step back and we love one another and we focus on that, regardless of what happens in the future, that does have an impact. We can do that. And doesn't that give us more credibility? Doesn't that sort of, don't we sort of ingratiate ourselves to others when we do that? Believe me, it's easier said than done. I'm getting to that. Anyway, this is speaking of the mass formation. If you're not familiar with that stuff, to give psychological air to what's happening so that we don't all feel just worn out by this nonsense. You know, Matthias de Smet spoke to the reality of how this works, you know, what happens and why people seem to be like the worse things get, the more enslaved and mind controlled and driven by Stockholm syndrome people seem to be. Why is that? Well, here's Matthias de Smet telling us. Go ahead, please.
Yeah. Yes, it's something something quite strange, I think, that the masses always long for a severe and cruel leader, Gustave Le Bon said, which is very, which is something very strange. Something in the process of mass formation. Like if you look, we come from a very individualistic age in which people try to find meaning in their own lives and in their own way. But actually, in a strange way, now we see how the opposite emerges. It is as if people want to lose themselves in the masses, in the crowd, and as if they are looking for a leader who tells them what to do. And that's one of the most specific aspects of mass formation, I think, that it makes people long for a harsh leader. And Gustave Le Bon describes this already. And if the leaders of the masses understand this, they understand that they can be as absurd as they want, that they can be as harsh as they want, that they can impose the most absurd limitations to individuals' lives, it will only make mass formation stronger, and it will only make the leaders more popular.
Because it's like it's imposing sacrifice, yes, which is a deep part of ritual. And I've heard you talk about this,
exactly,
how the sacrifice itself, it's exactly, like any initiation process. It's difficult. Yeah. It's hard.
Yes.
We've had to do this together. We gave up Thanksgiving, yes, and we gave up Christmas, and we gave up. We never left our house, and we put masks on our three-year-old children, and we sacrificed. And that, yes, ritual then actually increases this sense of social bond.
Of course, exactly. You nail it down now, I think. That's exactly what happens. Like the corona measures, the lockdowns, the social distancing, the mask wearing, and so on, actually have the function unconsciously of a ritual. A ritual meaning a kind of behavior that as the only function has to create a social bond. And the less practically meaningful such a behavior is, the better it serves its function as a ritual. The more absurd it is, the better it serves a function as a ritual, and the more sacrifices it demands, the better it functions as a ritual. Because in this way, the individual that sacrifices something shows that the collective, that the group, the cohesion among the group members, is more important than its individual, than what is important to the individual. So that's exactly how rituals function. Rituals have to be pragmatically meaningless, useless, and they have to demand sacrifices of the individual. And that's exactly what the corona measures do. They are absurd, without practical relevance, most of them. And then, they imply huge losses for the individuals, which makes them very useful, very suitable as rituals for the new, new cohesion, the new collective, the new solidarity.
There you
and,
go.
You know, people who hear.
So, by the way, that's included in that post. I included the excerpt, the quote in print, and also a link, timestamp link to that video in that post, COVID-19 Full Circle. And again, I opened the post with the quote by Gustave Le Bon back in 1895, the masses have never thirsted after truth. Whoever can supply them with illusions is easily their master. Whoever attempts to destroy their illusions is always their victim, which is an echo of sentiment that's been expressed, you know, since antiquity. I mean, it's Plato's allegory of the cave. And the slave who escapes only to return to free his fellow captives who, you know, want to kill him once he shows back up. Man, you're crazy. What are you talking about? You don't even know what you're talking about anymore. You can't talk about, you know, you don't remember who's, you know, the who, you don't remember who won the Super Bowl last year. We can't listen to you. You have no credibility. Anyway, that's just to speak to the gaslighting so that we don't all feel like we're crazy. There's the, you know, so when you talk to people and, you know, like Matthias de Smet said, the more absurd, without practical relevance, these measures are, the corona measures, as he said, the more they function, the more suitable they are to function as a ritual. So what does throwing a virgin into a volcano have to do with, you know, changing the weather, or, you know, how is that politically expedient? Well, it's not, but, you know, the more absurd, the more it functions as a ritual. So wearing masks, even Jill Biden is grabbing, you know, she's grabbing her mask in the middle, which you're not supposed to do because then it gets it all dirty and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, these things don't prevent anything. In fact, they may spread things. They may ensure that you get infected, but that's how rituals work. Social distancing, et cetera, you gather and harness and weaponize this free-floating anxiety. And, you know, again, just to flesh out the mass formation aspect, when you are the person who tries to destroy the illusion, then you become the target of that free-floating anxiety. And that, again, is the coalescing of that new cohesion and new solidarity that Matthias de Smet talks about. You know, that's why, and this is an interesting thing, especially, and there's also this dynamic. The last thing I'll say, and we'll go to the phones here in a second, but, you know, speaking of groupthink, people do not understand how they have been indoctrinated from birth, really, or even before, but certainly in the formative years, and certainly throughout what is called school, regardless of public, private, whatever. People have been indoctrinated for generations now to behave in herd think sort of fashion, predictably herd think fashion. And in this instance, what that means is people view the individual with skepticism and vitriol. So one person shows up, no matter what they say, they're not a majority. They're not part of a herd, let alone the herd, and therefore they must be viewed with skepticism, and probably they're heretics, so we should take them to the edge of town and stone them. But if one other person shows up, and even if it's a group of, you know, say it's a family gathering of 50 people, it's weird to watch how people will try to, you know, attack the one person in red hand sort of fashion and peck that person to death. But if another person shows up as that is happening and says, well, you know, I think, or maybe two people show up and then you have the Delphi deal going on maybe, then all of a sudden the dynamics change. Because not because people are thinking, but because the way they've been conditioned to behave. It's a fascinating thing, but to understand it, I think, is helpful anyway, for whatever it's worth. And now we're to the break. So we'll go to the phones when we come back. Stick around, more right after this break.
Thank you. Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash or a money order with the pay to line left blank. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Nothing made out to RBN will work, so don't do that. The new accounts are going to be opened soon, and if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
To the phones. John in Tennessee, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, John.
I was listening to the caller that you had on earlier, Chris, and
that was actually from Monday. That was Chris in Virginia's
call
on Monday.
That's what I meant.
I'm just saying
that
for posterity's sake, yeah.
Right. I heard the replay. Hmm? And you know, he's talking about being around his family and having difficulty and that kind of thing. To some extent, all of us that have been awake for any amount of time have gone through that for years. So I guess what I'm saying, just as this COVID and the masking and the isolation and the destroying is all an initiation ritual. I've said it for months now, and others have said it. Aaron and Melissa, I think, even have a video on are we being initiated? I'd say unquestionably yes. And we want our loved ones to understand, to get the big picture. Mm-hmm. But they don't have the foundation that you and listeners to RBN have over years of building a foundation of truth to put another brick in the wall and to get the picture painted, to be able to see it and recognize it. So when you give them the truth, as we know it, whatever it is, and we all have strengths in different areas, but when you give them the truth, you come across, at least for me, for my family, I came across as the crazy uncle or the crazy husband or the crazy grandpa or the crazy dad, because I knew what I was saying. They just didn't have the ability to even begin to comprehend what it was I was saying. Now, thankfully, Chris, that most of 90% of my family has been awakened in part to the things that I've said and done and to their own desire to know the truth and their own research. They're awake. But that's all by design as well. This is to push people apart, the destruction of the family, to tear marriages apart. How many marriages have failed because of what's gone on all around us by people that want to control every aspect of our lives?
I think I think local news has reported in, you know, pretty much all around the country that, you know, domestic violence and things, speaking of marriage, has skyrocketed over the last 20 months.
Well,
suicides.
And how many people, That's right. You know, I was talking to someone yesterday morning that had a friend that committed suicide because of all of this.
Yeah.
So,
and I've talked about how I've heard from local law enforcement that it's, you know, skyrocketed in local places, you know, not from mass media coverage, but the actual folks who say, you know, I can't say this publicly, but here's what we've been responding to. You know, we've responded to, law enforcement has responded to more suicides than, you know, in the last like 18 months than they have in the last 10 years.
Because people have lost, there's no hope. People have lost hope.
Yeah.
You can't be with, how many, and here's something personal, okay? My in-laws live next door to me, like within 1,000 feet, the next house 1,000 feet away. And they've been there for years. But my father-in-law, who's 92 years old, had part of his lung missing because of cancer, had been run over by a farm tractor. Very strong, you know, six stents in his heart. Very strong 92-year-old man. But it was time. His body just gave out. And when he passed away, naturally, it was a COVID death. Did he have a heart attack? I don't know. Did he have pneumonia? I don't know. Probably so. His heart was played out. So he wasn't getting the air in his lungs, and it caused him to die. But it was called the COVID death. Now, as a result of his death, my mother-in-law is basically self-isolated for the last year. We, you know, she goes out and does what she wants to do, but it's never around anyone else. She's not doing things that she did for years because she doesn't want to be around people.
Yeah.
Because she's scared.
Mm-hmm.
So here you've got the elderly that are literally being, I believe, being abused. Mm-hmm. You've got children that are being offered up to Moloch. Mm-hmm. And I know this is a time we're supposed to be thankful. And I am. But I want so bad for the world to see what's going on. Yet they can't. So who do I talk to about it?
Right.
I talk to the family at RBN.
Yeah.
Because the people that I have in my circle, which changes daily, I can't express the frustration. So I can understand. You know, it sounds like when I call in that I'm down and gloomy. It's just a way to vent. Mm-hmm. To get the, instead of shaking someone that I don't know by the neck.
Yeah.
This is as close to just going out on the back porch or in the field and shouting your head off. You know, this is, it's cathartic.
Yeah.
How many times have we all wanted just to shake someone and say, hey, man, slap him in the face. Come out of it. Wake up. Yeah. I'm here. Come out of it.
It gets to the love thing.
But anyway, you know, it is a time to be thankful. Here's what I'm thankful for.
We're headed into a break. Hold this thought, John.
Okay.
Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off Drop-In Lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off Drop-In Lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Much more powerful than I am is in control of all of this, because if you gave me the reins, I'd probably run the horse into the barn, into the back of the wall. We'd be in such bad shape if John could try to fix this.
Mm-hmm.
The answer to all of it, people, is get him to the man that can give him the living water.
Yeah.
Do what you're supposed to be doing. It's all in his control. When Pilate asked Jesus what is truth, he remained silent. But if Pilate would have changed one word and said, who is truth, maybe Jesus would have given him an answer. Maybe the truth would, but see, that couldn't happen, because if he hadn't gone to the cross, we'd all be without hope. Yeah. That's where the answer lies. We need to get, sprinkle them with a little bit of living water and introduce them to the Savior and be real. And with that, that's what I'm thankful for.
Thank you, sir. Much appreciated, as always. Yeah. Reminds me, you know, that running the horse into the back of the barn reminds me of the 2008 Black State of the Union and Dick Gregory talking and saying, you know, y'all need to thank Barack Obama. You need to, because if you had a brother, if y'all had a brother like me, y'all would really be in trouble. So, cracked me up. The audience thought it was humorous too. So love, how do we do it? You know, it sounds good. How do we do it? Things are weird. CNN is talking about the Axios Ipsos poll. Nearly half of what do they say? Nearly half of Americans might have unvaccinated guests at Thanksgiving, and you go look at that poll, and they're calling it Thanksgiving roulette. Thanksgiving roulette. And how many people, you know, again, speaking of Gustave Le Bon, Wilfred Trotter, Walter Lippmann, Edward Bernays, you know, all these folks who want to reduce us to herd think, they say you don't have to be in a group, or, you know, you can be alone watching television, reading these articles, and the group think still applies. The effect, you know, is still at work. And so, you know, how many people read these articles, for example, Axios Ipsos poll, Thanksgiving roulette, and read these things, you know, why it matters. Vaccinations and booster shots are given, giving more people confidence to resume traditions like sitting around a packed table with masks off. Like, you know, being normal is weird. I mean, think about how bizarre that sentence is. But many are doing so with heightened awareness of what they don't know when it comes to their holiday companions, and the oxymoronic nature of that statement, heightened awareness of what they don't know. So this year, 31% see a large or moderate risk in seeing friends or family for Thanksgiving, way down from 64% a year ago. My question is, says who? You know, 682 U.S. adults polled, but who are they? And you know, from whence does the so-called data derive? You know, there's the Ipsos poll. What is Axios? What is Ipsos? Eh. You know. And so this is telling people how to think. And if that all weren't bad enough, you know, there is the World Economic Forum stuff. If you want to really get upset, go to World Economic Forum's Facebook page and see what they're posting, you know. What to know, how rivers in the sky cause giant floods. They can absorb 15 times the volume of the Mississippi River, preventing potential disaster. NASA's new DART spacecraft could save us from dangerous asteroids. But there's better propaganda than that. You know, different demographics are recovering from the pandemic at unexpected rates. Young and ethnic minority workers were hardest hit at the start of COVID, but not anymore. That's funny, because didn't Melinda Gates say something like, you know, I think brown people should get the shot first? Didn't she say, isn't that a quote? Isn't that how she put it? And the vulnerable is, you know, I always worry when predators start talking about the vulnerable. Just saying. There are plenty of these things to keep us frustrated. A bit of levity. How about we do that? A bit of levity. Remember this from Monty Python? While back, go ahead, please.
Any anti-imperialist group like ours must reflect such a divergence of interests within its power base.
Agreed. Francis? Yeah, I think Judith's point of view is very valid, Ray. Provided the movement never forgets that it is the inalienable right of every man
or woman
to rid himself
or herself.
Agreed.
Thank you, brother.
Or sister. Where was I?
I think you finished.
Oh, right.
Furthermore, it is the birthright of every man
or woman.
Why don't you shut up about women, Stan? You're putting us off.
Women have a perfect right to play a part in our movement, Reg.
Why are you always on about women, Stan?
I want to be one.
What?
I want to be a woman. From now on, I want you all to call me Loretta.
What?
It's my right as a man.
Well, why do you want to be Loretta, Stan?
I want to have babies.
You want to have babies?
It's every man's right to have babies if he wants them.
But you can't have babies.
Don't you oppress me.
I'm not oppressing you, Stan. You haven't got a womb. Where's the fetus going to gestate? You're going to keep it in a box?
Here, I've got an idea. Suppose you agree that he can't actually have babies, not having a womb, which is nobody's fault, not even the Romans, but that he can have the right to have babies.
Good idea, Judith. We shall fight the oppressors for your right to have babies, brother. Sister, sorry. What's the point?
What?
What's the point of fighting for his right to have babies when he can't have babies? It is symbolic of our struggle against oppression.
Symbolic of his struggle against reality.
Symbolic of his struggle against reality. So, you know, we have these kinds of things going on at the same time. And, you know, if I didn't know better, I would think that – you remember when Alan Watt used to talk about Brazil, which was released back in 1985, Robert De Niro and, you know, the thug, you know, the black guard rappelling out of the ceiling and so on. It's almost like this is, you know – none of this is by accident. Very strange. So the love thing, real quick, we need to finish the love thing. So how do we love one another? That's something that we can do, but honestly, how? You know, I've long been an advocate of tough love. As someone who received far less tough love than he deserved, certainly, I've always been an advocate of tough love. I think we could just, you know, there was a time in America where we would just call it love. But, you know, these days I would say not so fast, maybe. I don't know. You know, things were different when I was growing up. I remember being at a friend's house. I think I've told this story before, but, you know, being at a friend's house, I think like 10, 11 years old, 11, 12, something like that, around 11 years old. And we were rough housing inside, and we would sort of move from area to area. His mom was home, and so we were roughhousing and, you know, bumping into stuff, and obviously she was getting upset, and she kept telling us she was making dinners, kind of early afternoon, making dinner in the kitchen, and kept shouting at us to go outside, go outside, go outside, go outside. And finally she had enough. She called us both into the kitchen, and she proceeded to spank us each separately with a wooden spoon until the spoon broke. Broke a spoon on him, broke a spoon on my behind. And, you know, part of the point of this story is usually that moms don't spank like dads spank. There's definitely a difference. Those of us who know. And so, you know, we cried for effect because the thought of a spanking is always terrifying, but mom spankings are not dad spankings. So she spanked us, broke a spoon, and these days that would be considered child abuse. Two separate spoons on two separate backsides. We cried for effect, and before we were even out the door going outside, we weren't crying anymore, looked at each other and basically said, so what do you want to do? I don't know, ride dirt bikes? Okay, let's do that. So we did, and no big deal. It's different, but that kind of, you know, harkens to a bygone era, what some might call tough love, what others might just call love. And these days, you know, I mean, if you were raised on a ranch, certainly on a farm a little less, but even on a farm, you know what I mean by this kind of tough love. You know, the short, the gruff kind of statements from a bygone generation that just really point out the stupidity of the things that we say sometimes and make us, you know, remind us without the spanking that maybe we should think a little more and speak a little less sometimes. Those, you know, that bygone era. So though I'm an advocate And I wish that we could return to those days, because I think that helped, you know, keep our feet planted firmly on the ground. We're here. We're here. And so what do we do now? And so here are some ideas from Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I mentioned it yesterday. Habit 1, be proactive. Just, you know, he goes through this concept of stimulus and response, principles of personal vision. I'm going to try to make this brief. He goes through the different types of determinism, the social mirror. You know, we have genetic determinism, basically says your grandparents did it to you. Psychic determinism basically says your parents did it to you. Environmental determinism basically says your boss is doing it to you, or your spouse, bratty teenager, economic situation, national policies, etc. But there is this opportunity. He refers to Viktor Frankl, you know, Man's Search for Meaning. There's this opportunity between stimulus and response that we can decide for ourselves how the stimulus is going to affect us. We have the freedom to choose through self-awareness, Chris in Virginia, imagination, conscience, independent will. We have the opportunity to decide. And so again, Covey writes, but because of our unique human endowments, we can write new programs for ourselves totally apart from our instincts. And of course, he goes through, you know, talking about the Pavlovian conditioning, which is sort of what I've, you know, part of what I've been referring to. You know, so unlike animals, we can write new programs for ourselves totally apart from our instincts and training. This is why an animal's capacity is relatively limited and man's is unlimited. But if we live like animals out of our own instincts and conditioning and conditions out of our collective memory, we too will be limited. The deterministic paradigm comes primarily from the study of animals, rats, monkeys, pigeons, dogs, and neurotic and psychotic people, which we have been groomed to be in America, by the way. While this may meet certain criteria of some researchers because it seems measurable and predictable, the history of mankind and our own self-awareness tell us that this map doesn't describe our territory at all. Our unique human endowments lift us above the animal world. The extent to which we exercise and develop these endowments empowers us to fulfill our unique human potential. Between stimulus and response is our greatest power. Our greatest power. Between stimulus and response is our greatest power, the freedom to choose. So there are these things happening all around us, some of them I just mentioned, that are, they seem designed, don't they? Very specifically targeted. I mean, think about the Axios Ipsos poll and how CNN or Fox News could play that and, you know, spin it to a particular context to keep people frothy over the Thanksgiving table, to really harness that free-floating anxiety that's always around. That is the, in essence, that's the strategy of tension. So we have these, you know, the stimulus is everywhere. We have the freedom to choose. Stephen Covey says, our greatest power is the freedom to choose. So he talks about being proactive. Reactive people are often affected by their physical environment. And the ability to subordinate an impulse to a value is the essence of the proactive person. Act or be acted upon. Serious problem with reactive language is that it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. People become reinforced in a paradigm that they are determined, and they produce evidence to support the belief. They feel increasingly victimized and out of control, not in charge of their own life or destiny. They blame outside forces, other people, circumstances, even the stars for their own situation. And he goes into circle of concern versus circle of influence and how that dynamic works. You know, those three buckets, what we can control, what we can influence, what we can neither control nor influence. So that's an interesting paradox. And the problems we face fall into one of three areas: direct control, indirect control, or no control. It is the nature of reactive people to absolve themselves of responsibility. It is much safer to say, I am not responsible. If I say I am responsible, I might have to say I am irresponsible. It would be very hard for me to say that I have the power to choose my response and that the response I have chosen has resulted in my involvement in a negative, collusive environment, especially if for years I have absolved myself of responsibility for results in the name of someone else's weaknesses. So, you know, that's provocative, I would say. There are so many ways to work in the circle of influence, to be a better listener, to be a more loving marriage partner, to be a better student, to be a more cooperative and dedicated employee. Sometimes the most proactive thing we can do is to be happy, just to genuinely smile. Happiness, like unhappiness, is a proactive choice. There are things like the weather that our circle of influence will never include. I guess unless you're, you know, yeah, anyway, stratospheric aerosol injection. I digress. But as proactive people, we can carry our own physical or social weather with us. We can be happy and accept those things that at present we can't control while we focus our efforts on the things that we can. So, you know, just as an aside, this is the thing. The point of all of this in loving one another, here's the thing that, you know, again, as I said at the beginning of the week, even if the Grinch steals Christmas this year, as is, you know, the theft of Thanksgiving is being attempted, if we, like the folks in Whoville, just enjoy the moment and one another anyway, that is the antidote to all of this madness. A large part of the indoctrination, this esoteric, you know, cabal, includes the eradication of beauty and goodness and, you know, of course, love, you know, the beautiful things. And this is an antidote to that. So if we can focus on that and get together with one another, then we're sowing beauty and love into the world. And that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. All right, so finally, Stephen Covey writes, "It is here that we find two ways to put ourselves in control of our lives immediately. We can make a promise and keep it, or we can set a goal and work to achieve it. As we make and keep commitments, even small commitments, we begin to establish an inner integrity that gives us the awareness of self-control and the courage and strength to accept more of the responsibility for our own lives. By making and keeping promises to ourselves and others, little by little, our honor becomes greater than our moods." And, you know, that's a point that he makes at the outset of this chapter, if I recall correctly. We are not our feelings. We are not our moods. We are not even our thoughts. The very fact that we can think about these things separates us from them and from the animal world. Self-awareness enables us to stand apart and examine even the way we see ourselves, our self-paradigm. So continuing, the 30-day test, I would challenge us all, including myself, to maybe do this as we gather in the next, you know, in the coming days over Thanksgiving, maybe we could do this and then we could report back to one another and see how it goes. Maybe not 30 days, maybe just a few days over Thanksgiving, maybe 30 days, maybe more. Who knows? It's up to the person, I would say. So Covey writes, "We do not have to go through the death camp experience of Frankl to recognize and develop our own proactivity. It is in the ordinary events of every day that we develop the proactive capacity to handle the extraordinary pressures of life. It's how we make and keep commitments, how we handle a traffic jam, how we respond to an irate customer or a disobedient child, or, you know, to latent tensions that have been fomented that may manifest themselves at family gatherings like Thanksgiving." How about that? "It's how we view our problems and where we focus our energies. It's the language we use." So Covey writes, "I would challenge you to test the principle of proactivity for 30 days. Simply try it and see what happens. For 30 days, work only in your circle of influence. Make small commitments and keep them. Be a light, not a judge. Be a model, not a critic. Be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Try it in your marriage, in your family, in your job," and parenthetically I add Thanksgiving. "Don't argue for other people's weaknesses. Don't argue for your own. When you make a mistake, admit it, correct it, and learn from it immediately. Don't get into blaming, accusing mode. Work on things you have control over. Work on you, on B. Look at the weaknesses of others with compassion," which gets back to Chris and Virginia's call on Monday. "Look at the weaknesses of others with compassion, not accusation." And that's real compassion, not condescension under the guise of compassion. And I'm speaking to myself. "Look at the weaknesses of others with compassion, not accusation. It's not what they're doing or should be doing that's the issue. The issue is your own chosen response to the situation and what you should be doing. If you start to think the problem is out there, quote unquote, stop yourself. That thought is the problem. People who exercise their embryonic freedom day after day will, little by little, expand that freedom. People who do not will find that it withers until they are literally being lived, quote unquote. They are acting out the scripts written by parents, associates, and society," CNN, Fox News. "We are responsible for our own effectiveness, for our own happiness, and ultimately, I would say, for most of our circumstances." So concluding, he writes, Samuel Johnson observed, "The fountain of content must spring up in the mind, and he who hath so little knowledge of human nature as to seek happiness by changing anything but his own disposition will waste his life in fruitless efforts and multiply the grief he proposes to remove. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving. I hope you have a great weekend. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Go forth. Mass is concluded." Just kidding. But seriously, be a light and love your family and your friends and your loved ones. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.